The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jenna Jacoby is presented by Allstate. Get protected from mayhem this year when you switch and save with Allstate.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Joseph Sikora. But you may know me like Jalen Rose knows me, Tommy Power. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Don't look away.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
What up, dope? We get a people. What? They.
Very interesting Monday night football game that we will discuss, and Dame Lillard stays hot, but we start the game with Ja Morant. He got a tattoo on his arm that says him, and he is a him. He proved it last night when he was matched up against the star-studded Nets. It was Ja's evening. They got the win, and he put on an absolute show, Mr. Rose.
The thing I love about Ja's game, let me make sure I stress this. It seems like each time he does a play going towards the basket, it's improvised. That's what I appreciate. It's off schedule. You saw the lob that he caught with his left hand?
Oh, we're about to see it now.
Oh, I'm going to catch it with one, and then I'm going to catch it with two and flush the toilet? Like, he didn't know that was going to happen when he woke up yesterday. He just playing the game. There it is. Ooh. And the improved three-point shooting also. Shooting off the dribble. Shooting off the catch. This was, for a regular season game, Jacoby, in a lot of ways, it reminded me of a summer league game. Because the best players were unstoppable and unguardable. Each team shot over 50% from the floor. Wasn't sloppily played at all.
No.
And Bane got going in the second half.
Sure did.
And when he started throwing those shoulders around, you know, I flew to Memphis just to interview him last year because I was not surprised at his ascension in the NBA. A knockdown three-point shooter. He's going to flirt with 50, 40, 90. And the thing I love, he plays within himself. See, a lot of times when you have a guy like Ja Morant on the team, you end up taking turns when you get hot. But what I appreciated is when he started making shots, he didn't have to worry about it. You know why? Wu-Tang Clan must have been at the game because they kept feeding him and feeding him and feeding him and feeding him. And again, KD and Kyrie was balling.
There they were.
The two top players for Memphis had 38. They both had 37. I believe Memphis had four players in double figures. But again, the elephant in the room that we're gonna keep talking about, we know Kyrie's gonna dazzle. We know KD's an unstoppable offensive player. But if the Nets are gonna be a contender, what's after that? That's the issue. What's after that? And it was good to see Joe Harris out there, and it's and great to see Ben Simmons, you know, trying to play a floor game, getting a couple assists, a couple of finishes, but he can't be falling out late the way he did.
Yeah, well,
like Ja had the ball.
Ja had the ball, and he actually spoke about it after the game. And Ben Simmons, one of the biggest problems with him so far this season is just foul trouble. Like, he has to stay on the floor, and even in preseason, he was fouling out. And he fouled out in this one, and Ja baited him into it and used his memory to do so. Let's let Ja explain.
If y'all want to, you know, go dig up a play, I think it was like my rookie year. We was in Philly. My rookie year. We was in Philly, and the same situation happened like that. Versus Ben in the first half, when I went to look at coach to get the play, and he ran through the ball, got the steal, and went to dunk.
So you knew about that before the game started?
I knew it at that moment. Once I seen him, I was rolling the ball, and I was at half. I looked at coach, And I see him try to like look like, oh yeah, so I knew I had him. He was gonna press up and I was just gonna force the, you know, ref to make the call.
Great, great head games there from Ja Morant, but Ben Simmons has had a lot of foul trouble. I think he'll get better as the season goes on. What do you think about him so far?
So, if I had to give him a grade, I would give him a C. It's okay to play a floor game defensively and be one of the best lockdown players in the league. And that's what Ben Simmons has been. That's what he will continue to be. But the game is so hard, Jacoby, I promise you. It's so difficult when you can't shoot. It's so hard. It's tough for him to initiate offense when you're playing with KD and Kyrie, who are so effective, because your man becomes an automatic help defender. And so for Ben, that inherently seems to frustrate his game. And that's where you see him forcing passes, when you see him running through screens, getting offensive fouls, when you see him trying to take the ball from Ja late, knowing he got five fouls because he's trying to make a play, because he's pressing in order to contribute. And I believe that he's clearly going to continue to get better and more confident. I'm happy that he's healthy first and foremost. But the next thing I'm going to need to see is some scoring in double figures, Jacoby. They're going to need his points. The other team yesterday scored 130-plus points. They had 130, shot 50%, and lost. They lost the game. You shoot like that on the road, you normally win. So I'll give his performance a C so far.
I expect that grade to continue to improve as the season goes on. He missed the entire season last season. I think he's going to get right, and I think they're going to work Joe Harris back, get Seth Curry back. I believe in this Brooklyn Nets team. But, Jalen, before the season, we had the Denver Nuggets being much better than last year, bringing back Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. And we had the Portland Trailblazers potentially watching Victor Wembanyama and saying maybe we shouldn't win games. Well, guess what? Dame Lillard's not letting them lose games. They're now 4-0, and they beat those Denver Nuggets last night handily.
Nurkic, I appreciate his ascension as a starting player in the league and a contributor. Last year, he flirted with a double-double, and when he becomes an anchor for them, it just changes their dynamic. It opens up the floor for Dame, in particular, the drive you just saw. And he's a high post passer and improved at that area of the game. But again, this is all about Dame's return.
Thank you.
Shout to Jeremy Grant also. But this is literally all about Dame's return and reminding everybody that he's one of the top players in the game. Getting to the line, making his field goals, scoring 33 points a game. 33 points a game for Dame Dollar. And the Portland Trail Blazers can always draw on the fact that CJ McCollum was the most improved player when he played with Dame. But other than that, when they made those playoff runs, it was because it was Dame time. Yep. And he might not have a tattoo that says him on his hand, but he has a watch on his wrist that proves it. And the way he's knocking down shots and the way he's playing with pace has been great to watch. And the teams that they're beating. Like, this is a good win against what you mentioned is a Denver team that a lot of us feel like should be contending in the West.
Well, I don't think the Blazers will go 82-0, but they definitely have shown enough early in this season that they might not be one of the teams in the Wembanyama sweepstakes. Jalen Rose, we had Monday Night Football last night, and we've seen flashes of what Justin Fields can do for the Bears, but last night was one of the first nights he truly put together a first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter performance. He was doing it on the ground. He was doing it through the air when he needed to. He looked great last night. They got a big win over the Patriots. What do you think of the run game of the Bears?
On a big stage also, and for the Bears, they just bullied the Patriots. 70 plays they ran. 70. The Patriots only ran 48. How are you able to do that? Run. Run again. Keep running. Ball control. Justin Fields taking care of the ball. And I must ask research. We need to acknowledge the rush TDs that quarterbacks are now getting. That really makes the game look different to me now.
That's how I make all my money on Sunday.
I know we've been betting on this.
Let's not acknowledge that. Let's keep that between us, Jay. Don't ask research. Don't mention it. Just move on. Let's talk about the quarterback controversy in New England because Mac Jones started the game.
Happy for Justin
Fields. He looked
terrible.
Yeah, Mac Jones looked bad, really bad to start the game. Looked rusty. Looked like he didn't belong in there. And Bill Belichick agreed because he put in Bailey Zappe, who immediately looked great moving up and down the field. But then what happened after Zappe looked so good when he first got in the game?
Well, what happened was usually when you replace the quarterback, in particular Mac Jones, a guy you took in the first round, you got to think twice about going to that backup. You really do, especially this early in the season. You don't want to create that revolving door for your team and your locker room and for your quarterback room. But the GOAT, Bill Belichick, chose to do so, the 8-time champion. And when Bailey comes in and throws not one, but two interceptions, that don't help that decision. It doesn't look like a smart one. And what it ultimately tells me, when you have two quarterbacks in town, Jacoby, that means you don't have one. And I don't know if Mac Jones' seeming regression in a lot of ways has to do with the ineptitude of who potentially may be calling the plays. I mean, on paper, going into this season, when we saw OC and DC and who's going to be the play caller for the Patriots, there was confusion. There was no ownership. And so those two former head coaches who are now on the sideline doing jobs that they didn't previously do in the past
Judge and Patricia. Be
contributing to Matt. Yes, that Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, maybe that's the contributing factor also into the struggles of their quarterbacks.
Well, it was just so odd to see Jones come out and play so poorly, and then Zappe come in and look great for two drives and then completely fall apart in the second half. Kudos to the Bears, though, for getting that win. But there's one play that I need to discuss with you. With Mac Jones was running the ball, and he went to slide. However, Mr. Oates, just take me through what you see at the end of this slide here.
Oh! No, the family jewels! No, that didn't happen with cleats. Oh, man, he should be arrested. You know what? That's why he got taken out of the game.
Nothing to do with not being able to move the ball.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with Bill Belichick was like, you going to do that to another grown man? I'm taking you out.
Well, just to put a bow on this discussion, the very next play, after getting the family jewels rocked by Mac Jones' cleats, he picked off Mac Jones. Jalen Rose, the two superstars in Philadelphia, not off to a hot start. However, they both showed up last night for the Sixers. James Harden's hitting threes, Embiid's in the post. They're looking good, but was it enough to get their first win? We'll let you know right after this. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at the Seaport, New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, I expected the Sixers to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. After three games, it didn't look like they would be. However, last night went according to plan. They played the Pacers. James Harden scored a bunch of points, had a bunch of assists. Joel Embiid had 26. Harris had 18. This is the blueprint. Are the Sixers right?
Zhang had 13, Melton had 11, and they won despite the fact that Maxey only had 8 points. And it was about the three-point shooting in particular. They made 19 threes in the game. And a lot of that obviously was great shooting, but watching the game, poor Indiana defense. Poor Pacers defense. And I know a lot of times in the national media, you go look at the headline, Joel Embiid, one of the best players in the game. James Harden, future Hall of Famer. But I was watching the Pacers defensively, and I was like, I know that they're trying to figure it out on the fly with their young group, but they got to do a better job defensively if they're even going to, you know, be competitive on a nightly basis.
If you look back at the last 5 or 6 years in the Eastern Conference, the Pacers have not been hosting round one playoff games, but they've been in a lot of playoff series. But it looks like this season, this Pacers team is headed in a different direction. Do you expect them to make some trades?
Well, you know, the elephant in the room is, are they going to do a deal with the Lakers? And they lost Brogdon in the offseason, and you know I like their young guards, and I like what they're trying to do. I believe they will make a move at some point, but I don't think it's going to be a move that salvages their season and makes them a playoff team type of move.
No, I think they're making a move that would get them closer to Victor Wembanyama than the playoffs. Jalen Rose, when we're talking about the top teams in the Eastern Conference, we talk about the Celtics and the Sixers and the Bucks,
yep.
But it seems like there's a tier below that doesn't get as much discussion, and that would be two teams that faced off last night, the Heat and the Raptors. So I'm old enough to remember the Miami Heat were in the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7, and Jimmy Butler had a shot to win that series and take them to the finals, but it seems like now the Raptors and the Heat are like threatening but not truly contenders. Well, they played last night and the Raptors came out on top. Which one of these two teams do you expect to have a better season, and what are you going to tell me?
So let me give you guys a league pass secret when you're watching the NBA.
Okay.
Every night the Toronto Raptors are on the floor, they're going to play with effort. They're going to be in every game pretty much because of that. Van Vliet, undrafted, went on to become an all-star. First backcourt guy to ever do that. Siakam, both of those guys are champions. Nick Nurse, champion. And on a nightly basis, they're gonna find different guys to step up. Trent Jr., Achua, 22 boards. They're gonna play with effort and tenacity consistently. You know when you're at the park, Jacoby, and the other team scores, and you're about to take the ball out, and somebody takes it in, and it's a guy right there playing defense 94 feet. You're like, can I live? Give me some space. What are you doing? That's the Raptors. That's Toronto. They're constantly switching. They're constantly reaching. They're constantly getting blocks. They're constantly out in transition. And in theory, Siakam a lot of times playing like a small ball 4 or 5, really, where he's initiating offense at the top of the floor. A lot of times he's their tallest guy, one of the second tallest guy on the floor. But again, for Miami, this is a bad loss at home, only scoring 90 points.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Only scoring
that's a really
90 points on your home floor.
So, Jalen, I'm in here in New York City, and there's so much focus on how great the Giants are playing, but the Jets are also playing very well. I think they're 5-2 right now. However, Breece Hall went down, and that's terrible news for them. But I've got good news for the Jets and Greeny and Jets fans. They got James Robinson, a running back that you've always loved. What does this tell you about the Jets' future and where the Jags are going?
I'm still mad at Urban Meyer for not giving him a chance to ball, really. This year, he was getting more involved. But now they have a 3-back rotation, and this last weekend he had 0 carries. You know how I know? I got him on my fantasy team again this year. And now he's about to go to the Jets, and now he's about to blow up. I'm happy for you, James Robinson. Let's do this.
So, Jalen, when I look at these two franchises and the expectations coming into the season, you expect the Jets to improve, maybe get 6 wins, 7 wins in a 17-week season. But there's a lot of expectations for the Jaguars to take a huge leap with Urban Meyer gone and sort of Doug Peterson in. But it's kind of gone the opposite direction for both franchises. Isn't that fair to say?
That's fair to say. But I want to give credit to the Jets and their coaching staff, Robert Saleh, because we talked yesterday about multiple teams who are outplaying expectations. And a lot of times, it's a function of your leadership. Mm. Keeping the mistakes down, the turnovers down, playing situational football, having an identity, playing to that identity. And also, making the opponent uncomfortable. That's what I saw with Aaron Rodgers. He was uncomfortable.
Good point.
He literally was last week. And also, adding to something. So now you lose a running back, you ain't waiting 2 or 3 weeks to replace him. They immediately see a weakness at running back. They go grab somebody that started the season injured, surprisingly played in the first game this year after returning from that injury. Now he has an opportunity to get more carries with the Jets.
And I think if you're a Jets fan, you're like, it's week 7, we're 5-2, and we had Joe Flacco as a starter to start the season. You know what I mean? Like, we had Joe Flacco as our starting quarterback, and we are now 5-2. It's so fun to be a football fan in New York. However, I do not think at the end of the season we will see both the Jets and the Giants still thriving. Just throwing it out there. You know, I like to be negative. Some tells me the Giants are a little more legitimate than the Jets so far.
I have to just say this. The Yankees got swept.
Sure did.
All
sure
I know did. Is if they would have made it to the World Series, they would have been on the show. But since they got swept, I'll bring it up. Wallace for the other New York team.
Right back after this very short break.
I love this game.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Every day we recognize another day that Brittany Griner is detained in Russia. However, now there is some new news. Her appeal of her 9-year sentence is not going to even be listened to. She will officially start serving that sentence. What happens now, Jalen?
This is really sad. 250 days she's been wrongfully detained. And for anybody that says she broke the law, what she's accused of doing in Russia, normally that's a 15-day penalty. She's been detained 250 days and they gave her a 9-year prison sentence. We here at Jalen and Jacoby wish her a speedy, safe return to the United States.
We do, and we also want you to join us in Detroit this Sunday. Go to DetroitLions.com/JalenandJacoby and join us, and you get a ticket to the Lions game. We will be back tomorrow with Rome Streets from the Griselda family, ESPN2, 4 p.m. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen Rose, we have a special guest coming on the pod exclusive tomorrow. Who's that?
Bars! He represents the Griselda family. He has a new album and documentary out right now. The album is called Kiss the Ring. He's the artist that not only has been in battle raps and freestyles and earned his way to the Griselda family and on stage, but he's also featured in NBA 2K23. Rome Streets is joining Jalen and Jacoby.
Can't wait for that tomorrow. I also can't wait for this Sunday. I'll be traveling up to Detroit, Michigan, where we will have a live show at the Lions versus Dolphins game in Detroit. And we're going to have a live show pregame in the stadium. So you go to DetroitLions.com/JalenJacoby. For $99 of American currency, you will get ticket to a live show, 11 to 12:30, live, Jalen and Jacoby. Then you will go right to your seat in the stadium where you will watch the Lions dominate the Dolphins all day long. And not only that, a portion of your proceeds will be going to the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. If you're in the Detroit area, even if you're around the Midwest, come join us on Sunday at 11:30, DetroitLions.com/Jalen and Jacoby. Can't wait for that. Jalen, couple of things I want to discuss with
you. What up,
bro? This gentleman, we don't like to discuss very much because of things he says and things he has done. But Kanye West has now officially been dropped by not just CAA, not just Balenciaga. He has now been dropped by his most lucrative fashion partnership. Adidas announced this morning they'll no longer be working with Kanye West due to his anti-Semitic remarks. Do you think that this marks a turning point in the way that we discuss and ingest Kanye information? Do you think this marks a pivot point where he will become less and less relevant to the culture?
So I don't like to blame other human beings for other people's misfortunes or dysfunction, but I will say this, the Kardashian curse is real. The Kardashian curse is real. And as I believe the Jenner who was dating Devin Booker,
that would be
Kendall
Jenner.
I noticed something. You remember how the Suns played in the playoffs last year?
Yeah, people blame coronavirus. They forgot about the Kardashians.
Correct. Just think about that. Phoenix made it to the finals the year before. Got flamed the last playoffs. The Kardashian curse is real. So for the next guy that wants to be Pete Davidson or wants to be whoever, I want y'all to think twice. Think about Lamar Odom. Think about a lot of the people who have gone through that family and that lineage. That curse is real. Can't make this up. Now the Kanye part. You would think the way he's behaving, there would be a rhyme to his reason because of how reckless it is. You would think, oh, he has to be saying that because there's a play that he has that we just don't know about, that he can't wait to share with us. When I saw the way he was daring Adidas to drop him, basically, in my mind, I was thinking, they must have to pay him anyway. He must be doing another play. Like, something must be happening. If this is just a full-blown meltdown and he's losing sponsors and he's losing opportunities, it's just unfortunate. And I don't know what happens next. I really don't.
I see this as a pivot moment in the way that we discuss him, in the way that we treat him and put him in headlines and make him part of the conversation, because I think that he has behaved his way out of that privilege. And I think when it comes to anti-Semitism and hate speech, I'm a supporter of free speech, and I'm a supporter of a diversity of voices, and I'm a supporter of people expressing themselves. But when it comes to hate speech, you got to draw the line there. You know what I mean? And you know, and I think that wish that he gets the help he needs, but I do not listen to his music the same way as I used to. And you know, that music was very good, but right now the words and the personalities and the media appearances are overshadowing the music, and I hope that he gets the help he needs, because he needs help. He definitely needs some help. And the Kardashian curse is real. Jalen Rose, there's something that's like a real gap between us. We got time for one voicemail, but before we get to that, there's a real gap between us. Like, you love Power so much that I started watching Power, right? I love Game of Thrones and House of Dragons so much that I really just want you to watch House of Dragons. It's only 10 episodes.
I will.
It's an hour a piece. There's dragons. There's battles. And you won't. Don't say things in the microphones you're not going to do. You're not going to want to watch a single episode of House of Dragons. What do you think you're getting into if you watch House of Dragons?
Well, here's the thing. The only thing I know about, like, dragons is Busta Rhyme when he say, "Rah, rah, like a dungeon dragon. Change your little drawers because your pants are sagging." That's the first thing to come to mind.
Okay, good. Good, okay.
Right?
I understand.
Dragons, right? So,
dragons.
Are they fire-breathing dragons?
Oh, yeah, big-time fire-breathing dragons. Oh, yeah, Dracarys. Yeah, okay. That's what you say to make them breathe fire. Okay. And you get to ride on them. Jalen, they ride on them. They're dragon riders. So they get on top of dragons and ride them into battle. No?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Well, I love House of Dragons. And you know what else I love? I love our callers. If you call 9580-JALEN, you give us a reason why you should get free tickets to come join us in Detroit. Go to DetroitLions.com/JalenJacoby. You have an opportunity to join us on a free, on a live podcast. Get yourself a ticket to the game as well. And parts of the proceeds go to Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. So right now, we'll be giving out, Jalen said, I would say we're going to give out one pair of tickets, but Jalen's apparently going to give out more. So right now, call 9580-JALEN. Tell us why you should join us for the live pod in the Lions versus Dolphins game. And we will be back tomorrow. We'll listen to some of those voicemails. Why is that Jalen Anthony Rose? Who else is joining us tomorrow to roam streets tomorrow?
We're not done. Rome Streets, Jerome Streets is joining Jalen and Jacoby. He got bars.
Bars.
And I appreciate how he goes deep into the crates with his vocab. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.